listening, and as we change the program around right now. And I think, you know, yesterday we had such an incredible day weather-wise. I think that we ought to see if we can legislate some way in the weather being like that. I was sitting out last night at watching baseball at, with one of my grandkids, and I just can't believe how beautiful. Was it incredible the last couple of days? Just incredible. But we're here. Lots of things going on in Jackson right now, and we got a big lineup here today. We've got the YMCA. We have Toastmasters here. We have the Animal Shelter. We have the Chamber talking about all the things they're doing. We got the Parks. And then we've got, again, the Chamber talking about upcoming events here. So we're going to start off today. Well, we're going to start off today with you. And then, okay, we're going to start off today with Ted Wilson and Candy Snow, and we're going to talk about Toastmasters. Welcome. Andy, how are you?
Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we got you on. Okay, so we're glad you're here. Toastmasters, I think, I don't know if everybody's heard about Toastmasters. I've known about Toastmasters for a long time. I've never attended or anything out there. I probably should have. Probably would have helped out a lot. So, Candy, you're a member of Toastmasters, and you're going to tell us about everything that they do.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about it and invite you to become a member. I am Candy Snow, president, personal wellness coach, and president of the Jackson Chamber Toastmasters. And I love Toastmasters. Is this one going to work for me?
The microphones, we having a problem here? They're good, huh? Okay. They don't sound good, but put it right close to your mouth.
I am Candy Snow, personal wellness coach and president of the Jackson Chamber Toastmasters Club, and I love Toastmasters. I feel that everyone should be a member. It's a positive environment where you can learn to organize your thoughts and present them to others much better. I want you to visit our club and see how you can communicate better. And I want every business to know they should consider having one or more of their members attend Toastmasters because it will help them represent you as a business owner. I do want to share a few words about our Toastmasters Club from some of our members. Shannon Martin, Commonwealth Business Development and Marketing, says, "Toastmasters has helped me be more confident when I speak in front of others. The club has helped me grow professionally and personally. I don't get as nervous when I present, which is a good improvement for myself." Davita Quinn, Vice President of Membership and Public Relations, says, "I have been a Toastmaster for 3 years, and it has boosted my self-esteem, given me more confidence, and allowed me to have a voice to speak publicly all around the world." Larry Snow, B&L Repair and Sergeant at Arms, says, "I thoroughly believe that Toastmasters is of great benefit to everyone who's interested in improving or fine-tuning their leadership skills. Public speaking may not be your favorite thing to do, but so much confidence in you as a person can be achieved by being a part of a Toastmasters club. Yes, you will be encouraged to speak in front of a small group, but it can enhance you in all walks of life. Our Jackson Chamber Toastmaster Club has a lot of fun. Come check us out. You are all invited, and I'd like to have Ted Wilson, our secretary, treasurer."
Well, we know you're not shy. Whoa, they really turned up my microphone. Well, welcome.
Rick, thank you. It's been a great ride for me. I've been involved with Toastmasters about 3 years. I joined because, frankly, I wanted to be a better leader, especially for the nonprofit area. I'm involved with Kiwanis, I'm involved with Masonic Lodge, things like that. And we have in our midst an administrative law judge, Avar Laws Wright, for the state of Michigan. And she's and the S division director. We have a number of different areas that we do. And she says, "I've learned that while Toastmasters is great for teaching communication skills, it is equally as great at teaching leadership skills. In Toastmasters, we all are volunteers. Leading volunteers is vastly different from leading people you pay. If you learn to lead volunteers effectively, you'll be a better leader in your career. That's from someone who leads people for pay, but is also a person who leads volunteers. I joined Toastmasters to do that very thing, to be a better leader as well as a pretty good speaker. I'm hoping I'm getting to be a better speaker. Rick, you, even though you haven't taken Toastmasters, you certainly should have, but you are you're a great leader. But when I hear people on the air, I hear a lot of ahs and ums and ohs and bleh.
I think my microphone's gone now.
See, it works real well, and you feel much more confident when you walk in and get that thing done. Now, we're having an open house for our morning Toastmasters on the 11th of July. We are going to meet at the above the post office at Spring Arbor University at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 to 8. We're going to go through a typical meeting. We're going to have some light food and things like that. But if you're not a morning person, we also have 3 noon Toastmasters and 1 evening Toastmasters here in Jackson. So you can do all of those things. And just contact us, and we'll be more than happy to give you some information on how to get in touch with them as well.
So you got 3 separate clubs.
We have actually 5.
Yeah, five.
One morning, 3 noon, 1 evening.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. How often do you guys meet?
We meet once a week.
Once a week, too?
Once a week,
wow.
Yes.
How many
and
members do you have?
Normally for an hour.
How many members do you have?
Total Toastmasters is close to 100, between 100 and 150. Oh. And our own Toastmasters Club has 14.
So once you're a member, you always continue to be a member. You show up every week, or hopefully do it.
You don't have to show up every week.
Right.
Because people are busily engaged in their own businesses.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's a great thing. Ted, you always have spoke with confidence, other than I think you say, a lot. No, I'm only kidding you. I really do. Everybody needs to do this. I mean, it's kind of like being in school, raising your hand. Who liked to raise their hand? I mean, a few kids always like to raise their hand. Most of us did not like to raise our hand.
Right.
And just because we don't have that confidence and everything else. Getting up and speaking in front of people is a difficult thing for most of us, and I get it. So you guys are teaching all that, and do you bring in outside people to teach this, or do you do it yourself?
We do mostly our own people, but we have a number of just some great people in Toastmasters that come in and work with us. One of the things we do very well is when someone talks for 5 to 7 minutes, which is a normal Toastmasters talk, we then give them constructive criticism on how to take care of that. We do it in such a nice way that you feel good about it, and we very often find out from people in the 10 steps that we have now go from very tentative to a very confident type speaker.
No, I'll bet. I mean, I think everybody should take it. I really do.
Yes.
I think it's a great organization because we're all out in the public in some fashion, whether you're a salesperson or you're some other type of, I don't care what part in life. It's nice to be have a little bit of confidence. And if you've never done it, it's like you say, practice and everything else, and people are giving you, critiquing you. I think it's great. So that is great.
People wonder how much this would cost. Our own Toastmasters group charges $60 every 6 months, 15 of which we keep for things like this so that we can pay our way when we
That's
go.
Great.
But we also send in some money to Toastmasters International because a number of us have gotten awards in Toastmasters.
I'll bet. Now, how do we get a hold of you if we want to join?
Well, our own Toastmasters group meets in the morning. Excuse me. My own cell phone, if you wish to take that down.
Well, that's that. How, if somebody wants to join Toastmasters, what
yes.
do they have to do? They got to show up somewhere or call somebody or get online?
Contact Candy or myself or get online with Toastmasters.
Okay.
And there are all of the Toastmasters groups have a website of
That's
sorts.
Right. All right, we'll get online probably is the best way because it shows the different ones and when they meet and everything else. Well, we appreciate both of you being here today. I think it is a great organization, and you know, keep it up. Keep it up.
Come and visit us. We'd love to have you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks again to Chad and Cassie. Okay, we're going to come up and talk to Jackson. Well, Patrick, are you supposed to be up here?
We've switched the order up a little bit.
Oh, what are we doing now?
This is going to be the Chamber of Commerce, Jackson County Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, I've heard of you guys before.
Yeah. We actually sponsor the breakfast.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Is that something
new?
We'll
put the breakfast on. Yeah.
We're changing the whole program today because Rick Wilson didn't show up on time, so we had to change everything around here. He's coming in.
We were trying not to put it out there.
I don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know that Rick didn't show up in time and he forgot, but he will be here. So we are changing right now, and you guys are the Chamber Segment Member Benefit Sponsor. Okay. So Patrick and...
Yeah, we're up here to... I'm with Cassie Watson, and we're here today to talk a little bit about our Leadership Jackson program. I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's been around, I think this will be the 38th year.
I was there in the beginning.
You were there at the beginning.
And when they started it, believe it or not.
You were three or four?
I was very, very, I'm very immature, but very, very smart. See, they advanced me, right. I was probably eight or nine.
All right, wonderful. So Leadership Jackson, our new session starts September 5th, and we're going to have our registration starting July 1st. So if you want to register for Leadership Jackson, simply call the Jackson County Chamber of Commerce, 517-782-8221, or you can look us up on the web. JacksonChamber.org for Leadership Jackson information or all sorts of other community resources. But so last year was a really successful program, and Cassie Watson was able to take it, and she's here to tell us a little bit about her experiences.
All right, so last year the Leadership Jackson started the service projects. So we actually partnered with three nonprofits in the local area, and we donated over 400 volunteer hours and then over $35,000 in materials and cash donations. And that was for Cascades Humane Society. The state has a program that they go through and they count the homeless. And then there was also a fill-a-bag program for our children who are removed from a home and maybe don't have the time to get very many clothes or, you know, their soap. So we really had a lot of hours invested in that, and also a lot of heart, because that's your community. So that was the first time that we've done a service project in Leadership Jackson, and it was very successful, so we are going to continue that. I learned a lot about my community. I'm involved much more now than I was before I went through Leadership Jackson. I think that's the greatest benefit, is you really learn how to invest your time well in your community and really learn what is in your community, because there are so many small groups that we don't know about until you actually get involved.
You must have taken Toastmasters because you speak very well.
I was counting my ums because of the previous. I know I've got some counters out there. Forgive me, I haven't taken it.
And for those business owners or people out there in the community that aren't familiar with Leadership Jackson, it's a personal and professional development program. Like I said, it'll be in its 38th year. So if you're a business owner and you've got an employee that you're looking to get more engaged with the community, more engaged with the nonprofit sector, or more engaged with the Chamber of Commerce, Leadership Jackson's a great opportunity. Rick, I'm sure you've got a couple employees over there that it would probably make sense for you to send to Leadership Jackson this year.
I think a lot of people should do it. I agree. In fact, I'm glad you remind me, because I think it's a great idea to do that. You learn a lot about Jackson, meet other people, and I think it's fantastic.
All right, we'll put you down for two registrations.
Maybe. I'll go back there and tell them I'll pay you if you go. No, we'll get them to go, because it's a good thing. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. The graduates of the Leadership Jackson, really a who's who of Jackson. So it's been a program that's produced a lot of our local leaders and just made a tremendous impact in the community, especially with the service projects that Cassie mentioned. Getting this group of young, vibrant future leaders together and able to impact the community like that is pretty special. So. Why would you recommend the program to potential registrants for next year?
I would recommend this program because it really is for individuals who a company feels can be a leader someday. So it's really an investment by a company or by an organization in their future leaders. And those leaders go and meet other people from all different sectors. So I work at Lifeways, and I was with people who worked at banks or worked at credit unions. And that's a very different sector, but it was very important to learn how to network and to understand their organization because that helps me understand our community better. I think it also gave us a lot of skills on how we speak to people. How do you work in a team? How do you work as a leader? What type of leader will you be, and how does your mood or how does your day impact each day that you are leading? I think it also gave us a very good sense of where our weaknesses are or things that we need to improve on and really where our strengths are as leaders and how we can continue to grow those strengths because it's a constant process of development. I think that Leadership Jackson is really how you move forward as a leader, and I think that's how you as an organization can show your employees that you value them.
Wonderful. Cassie, what would you say your favorite session was through the course? What did you get the most out of other than the service projects? Was there a certain topic that stood out for you?
We had our final two sessions were mapping your future, and that was really impactful to me because we actually went through and looked at what kind of values or what kind of characteristics in a leader do you really value. And it was really eye-opening for me because all of the things that I was looking for are things that I have in my current leader, but also things that I maybe at the beginning of the course never would have thought as important. You know, I don't need certain things from a leader, and then to find out at the end of the class, you know, these are the best characteristics to have. But then to figure out that every single person needed something different, that was very eye-opening as well, because as a leader, you're going to be leading very diverse people. So I thought that was very enlightening. We are adding two courses that I want to go back to. We are adding company culture and ethical leadership. And I think both of those, if you know, working in the working world, your company's culture makes you want to stay or makes you want to leave. And your leadership, if they're not ethical, makes you want to leave. Or if they are ethical, maybe enough impetus to make you to stay. So really adding those two courses in has been it's very exciting for the future of this program because these are things that companies are struggling with to keep employees, and how do we grow and how do we make leaders grow the culture.
Wonderful. All right. So it sounds like we're going to have a great Leadership Jackson. Again, if you want to register for that, give us a call, 517-782-8221, or find us on the internet, jacksonchamber.org. I think that brings us to the end of our segment.
It does, and thank you so much. Glad to hear about it.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, sign up for it. It's a great thing. It really is a great thing. Okay, next up we have we're going to talk about the Jackson County Animal Shelter with Deborah Kubitsky, and obviously we hear all about that. And you know, it really is interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing what you're doing out there because wow, it's got to be a problem almost, and you know with. Keeping control of all the animals and people that let them go and do whatever else out there. So I'm glad you're here today, Deborah.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And inform us about what's going on there and what you're doing and everything else about it, because I am curious about that.
Okay. Well, we do. We take in a couple thousand animals per year. We have many services. Our services include, of course, adoption of animals. Communicable disease testing, euthanasia, exams for cruelty neglect, and kennel inspections, as well as spay-neuter and vaccinations. So we do a lot out there with the animals that do come in. We do have a millage that's coming up on the ballot August 7th, and we were interested in speaking about the millage and the legal requirements that we do have as well for the state of Michigan.
So you're interested in speaking about the millage. You want to talk about the millage a little bit, about what you're asking for?
Yes.
Okay.
We are asking for a quarter of a mil for a house taxable value at $100,000. It's going to be about $1,250 annually per homeowner. That will bring in approximately $1.1 million per year for the animal shelter. We're looking at expanding our staff right now. We would like to give the appropriate level of care. We are doing that at this time, but we would like to dedicate more staff for the needs of the animals, the citizens, and the staff. We also would like to reintroduce our animal control officers, and we have some capital improvements that we need to have completed as well.
Well, do you mainly, is what you mainly do, do you take animals that other people don't want? Is that what you do?
There are quite a few animals that are taken in. We also have animals that are brought in that are lost or have escaped right. their yards or homes. So we do have animals that come in. Oftentimes they are returned to the owners. Sometimes they're not, so they are adopted back out to other new homes.
And that's what you're doing. So then you've got out there, and it's got to be a constant. Did you vet people out when they want to come in and adopt a dog or a cat or whatever you happen to have?
There is an adoption procedure that takes place. They have to fill out an application and go through. If you have other animals in the home, they like to introduce the other animals to the new potential animal that may be coming into the home. So there is an adoption procedure that does take place, yes.
So how many animals do you typically have there?
Typically, I believe on an average day, about 75.
About 75. And you have veterinarians that take care of the animals, because obviously they probably have some issues.
Absolutely. We do have a part-time veterinarian that's contracted with. She comes in about 20 hours a week.
Okay.
And takes care of all the medical needs.
Right. So you prepare the animals, and then is there a place that you can really look online to see what animals you have?
We do have a Facebook page. We have a volunteer that is very good at posting pictures. She takes pictures regularly for us and posts them on our Facebook page. They are also posted online periodically, but our Facebook page is the most active in showing what animals are available.
I got an animal from there one time back when the kids were young, and the best dog we ever had was an incredible, looked like a little Benji dog, you know, and he was so cool. And
right.
everything else out there. I think my sister worked out there some at the time. But so all these people that discarded animals, and when you say you have an animal officer, what is that officer doing then?
The animal control officers go out into the community, and they would retrieve wild animals or lost. If you see a dog roaming the street, somebody's dog escaped from their yard, then the animal control officers would come and retrieve those. They also take part in animal cruelty investigations. They are the lead investigator in that. They work with the prosecutor in those types of cases as well. So they have a partial law enforcement as far as that is that component, but they also are out there keeping the streets safe from the wild dogs or animals that may be roaming.
I think in the news there was just about somebody that just recently here that had dozens of animals, cats and dogs and chickens and all this kind of different variety of animals out there?
Absolutely.
Are you aware of that one? You know about that one?
I've seen it's happening absolutely more often. We are seeing some of the hoarders, if you will, of animals that are keeping them in less than desirable circumstances. So we are seeing that more often, and the animal control officers would be available to assist in those types of situations.
What's the most unusual wild animal that you guys have ever encountered out there, had to bring in?
You know, I'm not working directly in the animal shelter, but right now we do have a lizard in there.
A lizard?
We have a lizard that's in the front
lobby. Rick, you ought to have that lizard. I think you ought to take that home.
Yes.
Lauren would like that. That would be great. Take a lizard home tonight, you know. It would be great, you know. Family will love it, and it'll love you right back.
We do primarily take dogs and cats. We have on occasion, there's rabbits that come in, pet rabbits. People give up their rabbits. So we do have those come in periodically, but most often dogs and cats.
What about all the stray cats now out there? Is that a problem? Is that becoming a problem, stray cats?
We do get a lot of cats. We actually just did an addition. Volunteers donated money to do an addition to our animal shelter for a cat room.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a large number of cats that come in. I don't know if they're all strays. I can't speak to that directly, but we do have a lot that come in.
Well, of course, don't you have a lot of volunteers that work there too?
Yes, we are very grateful for all of our volunteers. We have a lot of people that are helping us with the educational campaign for the millage as well. So we are very grateful for our volunteers and the donations that they make. We survive on their assistance. They do help out a lot with not only cleaning the shelter, but they also donate food for the pets, the animals. They donate, beds, pillows, those types of things. So we do accept donations. Our volunteers, we're very grateful for all of them.
That's great. So the millage is coming up.
Millage is coming up.
And if you want to know anything about the millage or anything else, we can get a hold of you.
Yep, absolutely. You can contact me. My information, contact information, is on our website, co.jackson.mi.us. There's also an animal shelter page within the Jackson County page.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Deborah, and good luck in the millage, and thanks for taking care of the animals.
Thanks
for
your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The information you need to start your day is all here on AM Jackson with Greg O'Connor. Broadcasting live from the County National Bank Studio on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk, 970 AM, 101.5 FM. More local and state news is on the way from our award-winning news department. Stand by for sports, weather, and conversations with Jackson's newsmakers. AM Jackson with Greg O'Connor. It's 8 AM.
Okay, we're back. We got Rick Wilson up out of his bed this morning. He was dreaming. Thank God. So we're back here to talk about the YMCA. YMCA. This is important, Toastmasters people. YMCA, really good. We're going to talk two things today, and we got two people here. We got Michelle Pittenger, who's going to talk about the summer program, which I really dear to my heart, honest to God. I just think it's, anytime I ever talk about the Y, I talk about the summer program, what you do for those kids out there. And, you know, I think it's so exciting. I really do. Then we got to talk to Rick Wilson. You know, he did show up, like I said. So I just met Rick for the first time today, too. Rick, you seem like a really nice guy. You know, like, have you ever held a job very long? What the heck? You know? No. All right. Now, Rick and I go a long way back.
Yeah, he doesn't want me to start talking about him.
Thank God for that, too. So, Michelle,
yes.
The summer program this summer, how's it going?
Summer camp is going well. Spots are filling up really fast. We ended up maxing out this week, so we had to tell a couple people that they couldn't come be a part, and that's really hard, but our license only allows so many kids. So if you want to sign up, now is the time. We have 7 weeks of summer left. And we're in the middle of our water wipeout week, so we're visiting water parks across Jackson County and one out in Ypsilanti, a lot of local places that we're really excited to be a part of. So it's going really well. We have some great partnerships going, and the kids are learning music and how to play instruments this year. They're learning about nature at Dahlem Center. It's been an exciting summer.
That's fantastic. How many kids in a day do you have, roughly?
250 per day this week.
Wow. And how many counselors do you have?
We have, on average, 1 to 10. So for every 10 kids, we have one counselor. The smaller groups, we keep it a little lower, so 1 to 6 and 1 to 8. So a lot.
And where are the counselors coming from? Where are these kids coming from?
These kids are coming from high school. They're coming from college. These are their summer jobs. Some of them will work for us full-time throughout the year and be a part of our after-school team, but they're coming from all over the place. Some of them are coming from camp, and they have followed us through from kitty camp to our counselor and training program, and now they're moving on to counselors. So it's very exciting to see that.
I mean, it really is. I just wish Jackson could understand what this program does for a lot of kids that would never get an opportunity to do the things that you're doing with them.
Yeah, these kids are going places that they've never experienced. They're seeing trees and nature and animals and critters that they never thought that they would come across. Some of them are afraid to walk into the woods with us because they've never been to a wooded area. They're afraid to go on hikes. It's a new experience for them. And it, just to watch them let their guard down and trust us and see new things is amazing.
I mean, it really is. And to see the positive, the counselors, I think, are so positive to see these kids out there that are teaching these kids and with these kids.
Our counselors are truly a family. We help each other out. We cry on each other's shoulders. We build each other up so that we can be the best every single day for the kids, because it really is all about the children to us. It is all about making that difference to one kid, and we truly believe that every counselor is there. Whether they touch one kid's lives or 50 kids' lives, they have done their job that summer.
And I believe it, too. Do the Now, the kids that come, do they usually come for more than a week, or how's that usually work?
Some of our kids come all 10 weeks of summer. Others visit a week here and there. We have a theater camp coming up that's going to start July 9th. That's actually a three-week camp, so that'll run from July 9th to July 27th. And so that's one of our specialty camps, and we're really excited to bring that back. That's something we haven't done in a very long time. But it's also an experience that kids might not get unless they come to our camp, and they're going to learn about theater, and they're also going to be a part of a production and have a great time.
Now, do you do this? Is this all you do?
No. So I'm the youth development director at the Y. I run all of our camp programs throughout the school year. I also run our sports programs. And we have a K-Club program that is just an opportunity for children to join in fitness classes as long as they're a member. It's free to them.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm really so cool. I'm so glad what you're doing. So much for that. So that's great. Well, you brought up critters, so that's why I thought we'd talk to Rick Wilson next. Because there's two parts to this program. I just met Rick, too. I don't really know him. And great for you. No, we got to get to Rick because we got to talk about what you want to talk about, right? Otherwise, you'll cry.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to...
Okay. All right, go ahead and talk to
First of all, I'll say a little bit about the summer camp program. It's incredible the work that Michelle does and her staff does. I don't know how many of you were kids and worked with kids. I was one of them.
I was a kid once.
You're still a kid. Yeah, I was 16 years old when I took on my first job with Parks and Recreation working in the summer playground program. And as you well know, that is not an easy job. You find out right away whether you are capable of doing that. 7:30 in the morning, we got 250 kids coming through them wide doors. And you have to be prepared. You have to be ready. They work long hours, especially our full-time staff like Michelle, and never say a word and just pick it up the next day hey, this is just what we do. And Michelle does a wonderful job, and our whole staff at the Y does a great job in the summer camp program.
Absolutely.
And the kids absolutely need it. The second part that we're here to talk about is our YMCA capital campaign. As many of you are aware of it, for those of you who are not, we are on a $25 million campaign to build a new YMCA. Many in the community thought we could never do this, and I can tell you right now we're at close to $13 million. Community our size, to get to that $25 million is a challenge, there's no doubt. But we truly believe that we are going to get there. $20 million is for the build. Another $5 million is for endowment to make sure that the kids in summer camp have the dollars to continue to participate. We have several proposals out there right now locally to help us get over the top and get to where we need to get. I truly believe Rick has been involved with it from the very beginning, that it's going to make so much difference in our community. I mean, we talk about jobs in our community. We talk about bringing young people in our community, young families into our community. What's some of the first things a young person or a young family look at? A place to work out, a place for their family to go, a place to swim, a place to learn how to swim. Our YMCA does that now. The problem is we are just not as basically the building's falling apart. It's 60 years old, and it's no fault of anybody. It's no fault of the building. Our building gets uses that most buildings no buildings get. We average, 1,000 people a day coming through that place. And so the use that it gets is incredible because people say, well, why don't you just remodel? You pretty much got to tear it down and remodel anyway. So this is something special for the community. We're going to make it happen. If you know anybody who would like to speak with us on it, we'd love to sit down and talk with you. It's going to be built right down here, downtown, either on the east end of our lot. We've also explored the lot across the street from us, which is a city parking lot. We'll be looking at about 80,000 to 90,000 square foot. We're going to be able to offer that all-day daycare. We're going to be able to offer that nursery school. We're going to be able to offer programs that we just cannot get a license for now. We're going to be able to increase the size of our summer camp program. And it's just something that our community needs. And we're going to keep working really hard to make it happen.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, absolutely. The Y is much needed in this community and does so much good for kids and for the business community, everybody. So thank God for the Y. And we're all for it. I wish I could keep you guys going on, but we've got another really cool thing. I mean, the parks, we're in trouble with the parks now. So, you know, thanks to both of you for coming here today. And really do appreciate it. And even you, Rick.
Thank you. One second. Don't ask it like a former CEO not to say much. Okay, so we did this summer, we received two new buses. Our buses were all 20 to 25 years old. And thank goodness for John George Foundation has paid for the buses, and Trips Automotive took them, sanded them, paid them down. So you're going to see two beautiful brand new buses rolling around Jackson, and thank to the John George Foundation and also the Trips for taking care of us.
That's right.
Thank you.
Hey,
both of you guys. Really appreciate you guys, what you guys do. Thank you so much. Okay, next up, we do have the Jackson Parks coming up here. We've got Jeff Hovarter with us today. And really excited to talk to you, too, about the parks, because we got some really cool parks in our community.
Thanks. Hey, before PSA for these guys, I spent 25 years down the road working as the park and recreation director, and I have to tell you, the Jackson Y Blue Bus is legendary. In southern Michigan, it's everywhere. And when you get the Jackson Y Blue Bus in your parking lot, you've made it. So they're doing great work.
Yeah, they are doing great work. So you are with – what is your
– I am the parks director for Jackson County.
So you're the parks director for Jackson County. Yeah. So you're responsible for all the parks?
Yes. There's 17 in the county that are specifically county parks.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you – because you're – Cascades, but not Shark Park, or are you?
Cascades, not. We get that question a lot, and we work closely together. But Ella Sharp is a city park, and the Cascades or Sparks Foundation Park, which is its real name, is a county park.
Right.
So,
but you guys got parks everywhere. I mean,
that's
an incredible job it must be to keep up with all those parks.
It's really one of the challenges, and one of the reasons I'm here today talking to you. Again, 17 county parks spread. From Round Lake to the far southwest, Clear Lake to the far northeast, 45 minutes. I've got crews running between parks. We spend basically three-fourths of every hour in a vehicle and 15 minutes actually mowing and trimming because we're so spread out. So
we won't go there.
but the bottom line is that there's a huge deferred maintenance bill due at this point if we're going to continue to operate a county park system, keeping in mind some of the things that were just said about kids in camp at the Y. Quite frankly, and the facts have been out there for decades, children who have access to parks, playgrounds, trails, and lakes simply perform better academically, are more connected socially, have good social relationships, have respect for themselves and others, are more physically fit, and at the end of the day are healthier both physically and mentally. So getting young people into the outdoors and providing great spaces for them to be in the outdoors with their friends and with their family is really important. And again, most people know about the Cascades and all of the wonderful things in that park and are familiar with Falling Waters Trail, another facility we operate. But quite frankly, folks are unaware in many cases that we have parks on 12 absolutely outstanding lakes in Jackson County, providing access for fishing, for boating, for kayaking, canoeing, swimming, playgrounds at most of those sites. And so we're really the access point for 160,000 people, most of which don't live on a lake, to have access to those lakes. And again, the deferred maintenance bill that's been caused by a really tough economy has brought us to this point where the county commission made a decision in early April to ask the taxpayers where they want to go with the park system. And that's really what this is about. This is not asking you to vote for or against something. This is simply letting the folks of this county decide where they want their county park system to go and decide how they value the importance of having those spaces for future generations.
So we have a millage coming up.
We have a millage coming up, April. Yeah. August 7th, primary. It's half a mil, which, as Deborah spoke, works out to $25 a year on the average value of a home here in Jackson County. I tell folks that 7 cents a day, and to put it in a scale, there's 365 days in the year. If we all together, and I join in, decide one day, just one day out of that 365, we'll all eat mac and cheese that day instead of eating out, you'll save $50. You can put 25 in your pocket, and you can give 25 to your park system for the future of our children. And you got 364 days. You can eat whatever you want. It's a deal.
Oh, I hear
it's
you.
A deal.
I hear you. I hear you. I know it. And I like mac and cheese. but I ate a lot of it in college, got 10 for a dollar, you know, Kraft mac and cheese. Still like that. I just think the parks here are so incredible. I'd like to go around to them. It's like, I'd like to go to all the golf courses, and I'd like to go, you're not responsible for the golf course.
We are.
You take care of that too.
We take care of that too.
Right. So I'd like to do that. I'd like to go to all the parks and go to all the golf courses. Someday we're going to do that, Rick. We're going to go out there and do that, just to see them all. But,
You need a lot of days to do that. There are a lot of golf courses.
And you really would. You really would. But it's, because we are really fortunate, blessed to have these many parks and golf courses and everything else out there.
Well, let me say that Jackson County, I often say Jackson County folks don't know what they have. There aren't five counties in the lower UP that have as many lakes. Jackson County has over 400 identified lakes in our county. There aren't five counties in the lower UP that can say that. You live on a wonderful natural resource, a tremendous asset to leverage. And as was said earlier by the Y, the millennials and the generations to come are a different group of folks. And they've grown up in the world of technology and that smartphone, and their careers can allow them, using technology in most cases, to live wherever they want. So they no longer move to where the job is, because they can do the job anywhere using technology. So they move where there's great quality of life. It's tipped that economic development model upside down, where instead of chasing companies who then bring jobs and people follow, we now do it the other way around. We chase a great quality, we create a great quality of life. It brings young people to our community, and the businesses are chasing a skilled, readied workforce, which are those young people. So quality of life has become a crucial part of economic development in Jackson County. We're fortunate because, unlike some of the counties around us, we have tremendous natural resources we can leverage as a part of that economic development tool, and we just have to decide if that's what we're going to do.
I'm with you. I agree 100% with you. We have great quality of life here, and with all the parks and everything else that we have here, and not being, I'd be in Ann Arbor the other day, and I was thinking, I had to fight that traffic all the time. I'd go crazy. I can't believe what we really do have here.
The parks
are a big part of that.
We do. And, just so folks know how their dollars will be invested if this is successful, I tell folks, playgrounds. Let's start with playgrounds. We have some serious liability issues in many of our out county parks. Some of that playground is more than 40 years old now. Standards were a lot different. So you could, as I tell folks, we can decide to spend the tax dollars paying out settlements, or we can choose to spend it on making improvements and improving the quality of life in the community. But we're going to spend a couple $1 million on refurbishing playgrounds throughout the county. That is really important. Think about it. Some of the first outdoor experiences young people have are actually on playgrounds. And playgrounds are a wonderful lesson. It's a place where you can take a group of complete 5-year-old strangers, and within 5 minutes, they figured out how to introduce themselves, organize themselves, figure out who's a leader, who's a follower, put a game together, and start chasing each other and doing something cooperatively together. There's a lot us adults can learn from watching kids play on a playground. And it's incredibly aerobic, and I challenge any adult, including myself, to go out and play on a playground for 20 minutes and not be suck and win. So we want our kids to be physically fit. Childhood obesity is one of the fastest growing disease in our country. Playgrounds are important. We don't need fewer of them. We need more of them. And ultimately, this is an opportunity to do that.
You know, we appreciate, again, what you do, and really think it is important to pass the millage because we just got to keep our parks up.
Come out and vote. Either way, participate in the process.
No, it's great. We appreciate that. And I think that when we go visit all the parks, Rick and I are going to start the splash pad first, you know. We'll be in our bathing suits out there. It'll be great. It's really something special. Hey, whatever. Thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate it, man. Thank you. Okay, to finish up our program, we got Matt to come back up here.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Big thank you to our sponsors as well. Round of applause. A big thank you to our ambassadors this morning, sponsored by Flagstar Bank, Molly Bolton of Edward Jones, and Terry Langston of the Center for Family Health. Big round of applause for them. We've got a great list of new chamber members from the last month. Eagle Ventures, the Sandbox Bar and Volleyball Courts at Game On Sports Bar, County National Bank, Jackson Street Branch, Workforce Pay Hub, IHOP Restaurant, or IHOB, however you want to look at it, Steve's Ranch, Terry Langston, candidate, Jackson County Commissioner District 1, Francis Street Primary School, Great Lakes Mobile Authorized AT&T Dealer, Iron Bark Brewing, and Albion College. Round of applause for our new members. Oh, two more on the back of my sheet here. iCare Repair and Consumers Energy Investment Recovery Center. I'll add those two in as well. For July, we have one event, Speed Networking. Get signed up. That one goes quick. It's at Vista Grand Villa this summer. So Speed Networking, July 18th. And for our members in attendance this morning, American Red Cross, Berg Insurance Services, CP Federal, Cleary University, Cascades Humane Society, Compassionate Ministries of Jackson, Greater Jackson Habitat for Humanity, Handyman Stan, Henry Ford Allegiance Health, Integro, Jackson County and Jackson Candy and Fudge Factory, Jackson Host Lions Club, Jackson Publishing Company, LTI Printing, Workforce Pay Hub, United Way, Graphics 3, Transportation Audit Recovery Services, Brown's Advanced, Commonwealth Commerce Center, Nonprofit Network, and Dancy's Fancy Butter. All right. We have no July. Good morning, Greater Jackson. We'll be back here August 28th for our next show. We'll see you all then. Have a great day.